I'm continuing today my series on sorrow and struggle and how that's been present throughout the scripture and how God might be speaking to us about that today. And I've been using as my key source, A Sacred Sorrow, a book written by Michael Card. And I don't know about you, but for me in that title, my most favorite word is the second word, sacred. You know, the reality for us is that often when we're going through sorrow or struggling or pain, we can at times feel like God has abandoned us. But one of the things I want to encourage you to remember is that whatever you're going through, especially if it's a time of struggle or sorrow, that God has not forgotten you, even though it might feel like that to you. That the sorrow that you're experiencing is actually sacred to God. It's holy to Him, and you're precious to Him as well. And I think that's something that we can sing in the sunshine, but in the thought of that incredible song, we also need to sing in the rain as well. Okay, so I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. One of the people that are going to help us today learn about that is a person that I know all of you have heard about in the Bible by the name of David. And David, in his journey with God, experienced an incredible intimacy with Him, especially in the wilderness. David, like the rest of us, I'm sure, would never have chosen that route. We all struggle with suffering and pain and sorrow. We don't like that experience. But it is often the crucible that God uses in our lives to draw us ever closer to Him. As you know, David grew up as a shepherd of his father's flocks in Israel. He was anointed king, actually, by Samuel as a young boy. And after that time, he was invited into the palaces of Saul. You remember the story where he went out to serve his brothers, and the Israelites were battling the Philistines, and he went out on the battlefield, and he killed Goliath. And so the things that David did by God's grace were just incredible. And King Saul saw that, and so did his family. As David was with King Saul's family in the palace, he slept there, he enjoyed their food, he enjoyed their company, and it was a great time. But then one day, King Saul heard about all of the praises that the people were heaping on David, he became jealous of David, and he actually tried to kill him. And so when that happened, David realized it was time to leave the palace. He got a big clue. You know what? If somebody's trying to kill you, it might be time to leave the place. And so in a day, David lost his home. He lost provision for his life in terms of food and drink. He lost friends and family that he knew in that place. And he was immediately exiled into the wilderness because King Saul and his men were pursuing him, trying to kill him, living in caves for years, foraging for food. I mean, literally, in a moment, David had lost everything. Michael Card shares about this in the wilderness. The stark severity of David's life pressed him to make one of two choices: avoid the forsaken sense of suffering that it causes and find a substitute for intimacy with God, or stubbornly refuse to let go of the loneliness and continue on the path toward an ever-increasing, continuously painful, unheard-of intimacy with God. David's two choices are still our only ones today. You know, that's an incredible insight from Michael Card, and he says so much in just a few words. And it brings me to a question at the beginning of my message for each one of us, and it's simply this. Have you found a substitute for intimacy with God? Because you see, that's part of the challenge for us in the valley. In the place of sorrow and struggle, in the place of pain and loneliness. The struggle is the quick fix. The temptation is to drink something or take something or do something that will deaden the pain as quickly as possible. So I ask you again, have you found a substitute for intimacy with God? You know, for some, it might be a fear of actually getting close to God or being intimate with someone. Maybe you had an experience in your life early on where you just felt you learned you couldn't trust anybody, and you've extrapolated that to God. So there's just the fear of intimacy to begin with. Maybe your substitute may be alcohol or drugs, lust, gambling. It could be your stuff. It could be stuffing yourself with food. You know, we as human beings are incredibly creative in terms of the number of things we can do to deaden the pain. I mean, I'm just amazed. I'm not going to go into detail on this right now, but you've heard of the epidemic of overdoses all over our country. The things that people, that the dealers are mixing up and selling to people to put in their bodies, it's just the most incredible, horrible thing. And yet again, it just speaks to me to the depth of people's lives that they will go to avoid pain and medicate it. So this is a very important question for you and for I, because what we do is we medicate our sorrow, we medicate the pain, we medicate the loneliness in so many different ways. And the reality is, it doesn't help us. Have you ever known, and I want to see this because I've never met a person that raised their hand on this question. Have you ever known an alcoholic who got better by drinking more? I haven't met him either. Have you ever met a drug addict who got better by taking more of their drug? I haven't met them either. Have you ever met a gambler who got better by gambling more? No, I haven't met them either. Have you ever met somebody who binged on food who got better by binging on more food? Hello. Think about this for just a moment. Use your brain and just take a step back. None of this stuff works. None of it works. Because the only thing that will work for you and me is an intimate relationship with God that requires a lot of effort, a lot of work. It takes time. It's not quick, but it is healing. It is relieving, and it is the ultimate answer to the pain and to the sorrow and to the struggle. You see, David's lesson for us is that he established intimacy with God by sharing his life with God, by sharing all of it with God and all that he was going through. And that's important for you and I to realize. You don't have this psalm in your bulletin today, but the psalms are full of stories, songs that David wrote. They were used in temple worship. They were proclamations from David's heart about where he was in his relationship with God. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but you can always go to the psalms and make them your own. I do that all the time. If I'm having a rough day, I'll go to some of these psalms and I'll just cry out to God with them. Close the window shades, lock the doors of the house, and just let go. Let it go. Let go and let God. Give it to him. I'm going to focus in on one of David's psalms where he did that, Psalm 109. And I'm just going to look at five verses. This is where David is angry with his enemies. He's been going through all kinds of stuff over the years, and he has had enough. And so he is talking to God about what's happening. He's sharing with God his anger and his pain and his frustration. And you know what? I can't tell you everything David said in this psalm because some of it you just got to read on your own. All right? If you're having a hard time with an enemy or a struggle or a pain in your life or loneliness, write down Psalm 109. You want to go to that psalm and pray that later today or this week. These are some of the things he says. May his days be few about his enemy. May his children be wandering beggars. That's not too nice. May a creditor seize all he has. And God, may you cut him off from the face of the earth. I mean, David, and I'm telling you, this is the nice stuff. This is the nice stuff in this psalm. David was pretty angry at his enemies. He was pretty angry about what was going on. Forget about this stuff about loving your enemies. He was like giving it to God about getting his enemies. Right? But the important thing that you and I can learn from David, a wonderful example he gives you and me, is that he expressed his frustration and his pain to God. David took his anger to God, of all places. Now, you see, you and I don't like to do that, especially the Episcopalians in the house. And the reason why we don't like to do that is because, well, we're supposed to be prim and proper with God. We do things right. We have the right liturgy, the right format, the right prayers. We have a prayer book that everybody talks about. We just do things right. And for me to get angry with God and actually be honest with God about how I'm feeling and my loneliness and my pain, God, Father Joe, I could never do that. Imagine how God might feel about me if I really shared with him what I'm feeling. And again, I just want to share something with you. And I share this with all love and joy in my heart and honesty. God already knows. God already knows how you feel. In fact, I'm so glad you're here today, because I think that's why God has me. Part of the reason I'm sharing this message with you today is he wants you to have a conversation with him just like David. And let him know how you're really feeling and pour it out to God. Give it to God. Express it to God. Connect with God. Stop the drugs. Stop the alcohol. Stop the lust. Stop the gambling. Stop stuffing your face with food and this and that. Stop escaping through TV or being busy or whatever it is you do. Whatever it is you do to run the other way, stop running. It's not going to work. It's not working, is it? I'm giving you a way that it can work. See, David took his anger to God, and that's where you and I need to take it. We need to take our anger and our pain and our loneliness and our frustration and our questions to God and share that with him. And this is no quick fix. This is going to take time. And some of you are saying, well, Father Joe, I've tried to take this to God, and I feel like God's a million miles away. I said in prayer, and I feel like God's not even relating to me. How do I do this? Well, you do it like you do any other relationship. You take the time to build it. You take the time to be with each other. You go to the Psalms and start reading them and crying out from your heart, your emotions, your feelings to God. You can connect with him that way. Ask God to help you connect with him. Tell him, God, I'm having a hard time connecting with you. There's this crazy priest who told me you would connect with me, and I'm holding you to it. Please reach out to me and touch me. And I guarantee you God will. In some way, somehow, God will touch you. God will touch you and reach out to you as well, because God wants to do this more than you do. Psalm 13 is in your bulletin. You can look at that with me. Here again, we notice a theme in the Psalms. David is crying out to God about his enemies. Again, what a wonderful example to us. Quit going to the bottle, quit gossiping, quit getting angry, quit popping this pill and that pill, quit escaping to the TV, go to God. And that means as many times as you need to. You know, you may be wondering, well, Father Joe, how long does this take? As long as it takes. If you want somebody to join you in the travail, call me up. I love to. I'll go right to the carpet with you. I'll be right there with you, pray with you through it, pray with you for breakthrough, whatever it takes, I'm with you. But it's going to take time. It's not a pill. It's not a bottle of booze. It's not gambling. It's not an instant fix. But it is healing. It is breakthrough. It is intimacy. He will be the answer you've always been looking for, and he'll be worth the wait. But I digress. Psalm 13. So David is crying out to God again about his enemies. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? So again, here's David. He's struggling with sorrow and pain. He was a man who knew sorrow, just like Jesus Christ on the cross, a man acquainted with sorrows, despised by others. And yet he was willing to give his life on the cross for our sins that we might be redeemed. Beloved of God, he's borne your sorrow. He's borne your shame. He's borne the price for your sins. Isn't it about time that you and I really go to him at the cross? And you'll know that you've really gone there when you start to experience the breakthrough in your life that only he can bring. You'll experience healing. You'll experience release. The reason why you're not experiencing the freedom from the unforgiveness you have is because you haven't forgiven yet. When you finally forgive, when you finally let go, when you finally have mercy, you will experience breakthrough. It'll just happen by his grace. David knew sorrow, so did Jesus. He goes on, how long will my enemy triumph over me and rejoice when I fall? Have you guys had people in your life that got excited when you blew it? I hate those people. I do. So do you. I know you do. It's normal. It's human to hate those people. I know what the Lord says in the gospel, love your enemies. I'm still getting there. All right, I'm still getting there. I'm not quite there yet, but I know what Jesus is saying, but it's like, Lord, you got to help me with that one. But look toward the end of the psalm, Psalm 13. Look at the end of the psalm. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has been good to me. You see, David is being honest about his sorrow with God again, and he remembers at the end in just six verses. This is awesome. God comes through to him in just six verses. I think that's incredible. And the Lord reminds him, I've been good to you. There have been moments in your life where I've been good to you. Has the Lord been good to you at some point in your life? Again, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm going through the valley, whenever I'm in sorrow or struggle or pain, all of that good stuff that's happened in my life that God did for me yesterday or a few months ago or years ago, I just completely forget. It's like it's evaporated. It's like, poof, gone. But you see what's happening in this psalm, which is so awesome. Awesome God. David begins to cry out to God about his enemies in the first three or four verses. And guess what happens as soon as David is crying out to God? God is already ministering to him. God is already ministering to him in the power of his Spirit so that by the time he gets to the fifth or sixth verse of this psalm, he's remembering the good things that God has done for him. Guess who did that? The Holy Spirit of God put that thought in his heart. I will sing unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I will sing unto him because the Lord has been good to me. And David remembered. Oh, he was busy complaining, but then all of a sudden he remembered that God had been good to him. Oh, and that changed everything. Because you know what? David realized, if God has been good to me in the past, guess what? God may be good to me in my future. And that's what God quickened in his spirit in that moment. I've been good to you before. I've spared your life before. I've been with you through that situation before. You remember that when you thought all the chips were down and it was over and I brought you through by my grace? You remember that time? You remember that time you thought you were dead and your life was passing before your eyes and you're still here and you knew it was by my grace that I spared you? You remember that time? God has been good to you. God has been good to you. And you see, like David, we need to let God quicken that to our hearts. And I'm asking you, when has God been good to you? Think about in the past in your life of moments that God has been good to you. I know you're going through a time of sorrow. I know you're going through a time of struggle, some of you. I know you're carrying a pain that you've had for most of your life. But we need to remember the moments when God has been good to us. Because it's a promise of things to come for you and for me. The Lord has been good to me. And he's been good to you. So I want to take a moment right now to pray a little bit. And what I want to invite you to do is just pray along with me. But this, don't miss this opportunity. You know, really, when I was first praying about this series a number of months ago, I said, you know, Lord, I don't want to do this. This is like a Debbie Downer series. I mean, it's like, you know what, I just don't want to even go there. It's not uplifting, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, I just don't want to do it. But you know what? One of the reasons why I believe God has me speaking about this right now with you, and God made it clear to me, is because you know what? My people are carrying sorrow in their heart that I can heal, that I can touch, that I can bring them closer to me and rise with healing in my wings above them and be merciful to them and set them free and give them grace and bring them closer to me and bring them into the fullness of what I have for them. So you see, that's one of the reasons why God has me speaking about this with you today. And so I want to invite you into a moment of prayer. And I want to encourage you along with me just to be open to a new step with God right now. Don't worry about the person who should be hearing this message right now, because that would be you. That would be you. You're the person that should be hearing this message right now. And believe me, the sense of my spirit is this moment is an invitation to experience the healing balm of God. God has been wanting to pour out the healing balm of His Holy Spirit upon the sorrows and the pains and the loneliness and the brokenness in each one of your lives for most of your life, and you have not been open. Today can be the day. Today can be the day. Yes, it can. Today can be the day.